All right, let's all pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this morning, the opportunity for us men to gather together and fellowship with you and seek your word. Lord, I pray that that what I say today won't return void, that you would speak through me and that you would surely reveal your heart for what you want for us as we join together as brothers in fellowship. And I just pray that you would bless the rest of the day and bless the men and that have taken time out of their busy schedules to come here, Lord. So I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so I think I recognize most of the faces here, but in case you haven't seen me before or around here, my name is Brian. I haven't been here that much lately on Sundays. I've spent a lot of time, unfortunately, at my job, kind of a forced requirement. But when I have been able to be here, it's typically weeks where I'm teaching out back in children's ministry, so you might see me kind of pop out at the end, be like, who is this guy and where is he coming from? Showing up for half an hour at the end of church once a month. But on the flip side, I really have been blessed by the opportunities that I have had to participate in growth groups. So if you're not currently in a growth group, I'm not here to necessarily sell it to you, but I will tell you that it is a great opportunity. And it just makes, it gives you opportunities to really fellowship. And that's honestly kind of what I felt the Lord was putting on my heart today, was really to share with you about what fellowship is biblically and how it's so much more than just getting together with a bunch of guys, although that's fun too. We're going to start off, I'm going to jump around a lot just to kind of warn you, but I'm going to start off kind of the roots are in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to go there. And we're going to start in verse 20. I don't imagine for a lot of you these bits of scripture are going to be that new. They're a lot of well-tread ground, but there's a reason for that. There's a lot in there for us. So starting in verse 20, it says, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body seem to be weaker and necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So the body of Christ kind of embodies the reasons that fellowship is so important for us. And it's really encouragement, unity with and through Christ. The body of Christ in particular kind of exemplifies that. And then it also gives us strength and empowers us as believers and followers of Christ. Brian, actually, as I was preparing this, I was listening to the teaching from Sunday because I was, again, not here. And I think there was a note that he mentioned in 1 John 1, where he was, is 1 John 1, 3, which is, "That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And Brian mentioned that he had seen a post somewhere that said, most Christians don't have fellowship with God. They have fellowship with one another about God. And that kind of like really hit home. As I was kind of preparing my study, I heard that. I'm like, that speaks volumes right there. Because what we have is that fellowship that comes through our connection with Jesus. And it's so much more than just gathering together a bunch of people, because you can do that anywhere. And fellowship, as the world understands it, is, you know, just hanging out with somebody. And that may be fellowship for them. But for us, it's so much more because as the body of Christ, it's all the members coming together and participating as one body. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching." And assembling in that context in Hebrews is kind of an interesting word. It's actually the same one that's mentioned in Matthew by Jesus about his return. In Matthew 24, 31, Jesus says, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And the Greek, and again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but the Greek for assembling is episunagoge, which is to gather together in one place. And it's only found in the Bible in Hebrews 10 and 2 Thessalonians 2, which is references the gathering together of the elect to Christ. So the assembling or gathering of ourselves for Christian communion in private and kind of public, the you know communion as one body communing together, is kind of should be reflective of what we're going to have as we gather together with him as he returns to earth, which I find really, really cool. And that synagogue is kind of where the root synagogue comes from, but it's a distinctly different, like the Jewish synagogue would be a meeting place, but this is so much more because it references the connection, the gathering together with Christ that we're going to have as one body. One other thing that we have that comes out of our fellowship is encouragement. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12 says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Lovers, brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So as we gather together in fellowship, encouragement becomes, that exhortation becomes so important. In it, God calls us to be unified regardless of our differences. And, you hang out with guys enough, we tend to rub on each other a little bit. You know, we're not the easiest, cuddliest guys to hang out with, and sometimes we kind of rub each other the wrong way a little bit. But regardless of, and not just guys, I mean collectively the body of Christ, age, gender, social status, profession, natural dispositions or tendencies, all those things, we should be able to either overcome or acknowledge and say, okay, God made me uniquely different than this other person that I might not have, I might not click with in the traditional sense, but that person is a brother or sister in Christ, and I should, when I meet with them, when I see them, I should be bestowing blessings on them, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. And we should also have a blessing ready for every situation, including the ones that we would think in the traditional sense don't really deserve one. Because ultimately it's not about what we deserve. It's because what Jesus did on the cross, we're not getting what we deserve. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." And if we're not meeting together, if we're not gathering and not assembling, how can we bear one another's burdens, especially if we don't even know what those are? On the flip side, as guys, that also means that we have to be willing to share our burdens with our brothers and sisters. And I know as guys, we tend to kind of be a little bit insular and hold on to those things. We don't want to appear vulnerable. But in order to fulfill the law of Christ, we have to be willing to bear one another's burdens, which means we have to be willing to share. And the law of Christ that he references there is John 13, which is to love one another as Christ loves us. And then finally, Colossians 2, Paul writes, in verse 1, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So again, that's a big promise for us. Paul's obviously writing that, you know, even though I'm not there, I pray that their hearts are going to be encouraged, being knit together in love. So even though we may not necessarily always be physically present with each other, maintaining that connection, whether it's reaching out, you know, having an accountability partner, having a Paul and a Timothy, all those things kind of work together for us to be knit together in love, and not in that kind of common love, but in that true love that Christ gives us, which these promises are pretty awesome. Attaining to the riches of the full assurance of understanding, the knowledge of the mystery of God, you know, understanding the heart of God and what he did, how much he loves us and what he has for us in his promises, and the treasure of wisdom and knowledge, which is obviously something that I think all of us would like to have. But with that comes understanding, or from that, out of the understanding of Jesus' heart and God's love for us, comes that wisdom and knowledge. The next thing that we can get that we have for promises are unity with and through Christ. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, "For we have, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Matthew 18, 20 mentions where two or three or more are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst of us. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation." That unity with and through Christ that draws us together gives us the opportunity, again, not only to bear one another's burdens, but to minister to each other with the gifts that the Holy Spirit's bestowed upon us. So we all have different functions. We all have different gifts. And the best way to exercise those gifts is when we're in fellowship and assembling together with each other. And it may be a men's breakfast. It may be a full Sunday morning. It might be, you know, a Wednesday night or a small growth group. Or it might be, you know, two brothers or sisters or, you know, families united in Christ hanging out together. But we have that promise that where two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, he's right there with us. So fellowship doesn't necessarily have to be a big group. It can be a small group as well. And then I love the promise of Corinthians 4:26 with everybody who comes has the opportunity to have a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a word of encouragement, you know, prophecy, all those things, the things that we may not necessarily feel comfortable exercising. We sometimes have those, and if we have them, then we should be sharing with them because it's edifying for the body as a whole. And then finally, for strengthening us for as believers and followers, Proverbs 27:17 probably says it best, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." And again, it's not necessarily the iron sharpening iron. Sharpening is kind of a destructive process where you're actually shaving off the rough spots. And again, that doesn't always feel the best. But again, you know, sometimes getting that, you know, a little bit of a challenge or, you know, an opportunity for somebody to, you know, to kind of say, "Hey, I want you to hold strong in that." You know, we can't do that if we're not physically connecting with each other and spending time together in fellowship. Ecclesiastes 4:9, which tends to be kind of like more of like, I don't know, it's, I hear it a lot at weddings, but there's application for guys and for the body as well. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, strength, not staying isolated in this society. You know, the whole post-COVID Zoom meeting sort of world that we're in, I think there's less of an encouragement for us to physically get together. And there is certainly a time and a place for being online, watching Pastor Brian teach on Sunday morning. Sometimes that's all you have. And for a while, that was the only way that I could hear it. And I'm grateful for that. But there's definitely something to be said for being physically present with the believers and united as the body of Christ. Again, it says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Sometimes it's that exhortation, that lifting up, that bearing one another's burdens that can make the difference between somebody getting isolated and picked off by Satan, or having somebody that can pour into them, lift them up, and help them through that situation. Psalm 133, which is a really cool verse. It's a very short psalm, but only three verses in the whole chapter, but it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, an anointment, running down in the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." So unity in Christ through the body is just, I mean, it's so important. And I'm really, really glad for each and every one of you that came out today. I'm not necessarily making this a plug, and it wasn't intended to be a plug for the men's retreat that's coming up at the in September. But for those of you that have been to one before, I would say it's an amazing experience. It's an opportunity again for men just to get together and share in that unity and the brotherhood that we have through Christ, and I would highly recommend it. Again, I'm not trying to like convince or sell anything, but if you can feel convicted, I would encourage you to attend that. And that's all I have to share today, so we'll close out in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Again, I'm grateful for the men that were willing to set time aside. I pray that you would just bless the day. Thank you for the hands that prepared the meal this morning, and I pray that you would give them an extra special blessing as they came in early and set up. And Lord, I pray that you would just order our steps, Lord. Hasten the day where you return and we can meet you in the sky in true fellowship and the final gathering, Lord. We just pray that you would make that how we approach our fellowship and our meeting together, even as we wait for you, Lord. I pray that you would just pour into these men, Lord, as they pour into their families, that you would just give them that special anointing of leadership of their households, and that until we meet again, Lord, that you would just keep them safe and keep them united in you. I pray this in your name. Amen.